Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Hello, Alaska. What a joy and a pleasure to see each and every one of you here tonight on this glorious dedication week. Greetings to the Bride of Christ. Why am I here? Because Dan and I have come to honor Dr. Jim Morocco and his gracious wife, who have been leaders in Christians United for Israel from the first day. And this organization, as Dr. Morocco has said, has approximately 10 million people who are defenders of Israel. Because everything prophetically from this moment until the end of time begins and ends with Israel. Jerusalem is the epicenter of the world. Jerusalem is the shoreline of eternity. David said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem for a reason. Because right now, the destiny of nations depends on that. And I bless every one of you for everything that you've ever done to bless the nation of Israel. Dr. Morocco is a brilliant and courageous man who has founded Kingsway Cathedral in Maui and has raised up over 600 churches around the world. I've been in the gospel ministry for 65 years. I'm 83, not 43. And I've never met a man who is more gracious and more godly than Dr. Morocco. Those of you who have him as a spiritual leader are indeed blessed of God. Tonight, the topic is, what is a great church? This is the dedication of a church. What does it mean to say, I'm part of a great church? Let me read the text for you. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with boldness. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was on them all. We'll talk about great grace and great power and great fear and great accomplishments. Let's pray together. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Creator of heaven and earth, the God who breathed into dust and man became a living soul, the God who calls the stars by name and who holds the seven seas in the palms of his hand. We pray your blessings and consecration over this building, over Dr. Morocco, over the pastors who work here and the members of this church. The word of God says, except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. This house of worship is your doing, and it is precious in our sight. Heavenly Father, accept the work of our hands as a sacrifice of praise to your holy name. Let this house of prayer be a lighthouse to a world groping in spiritual darkness. Let your word go forth from this place to the uttermost parts of Alaska, of America, and the world, to establish sons and daughters that will be born into the kingdom of God. May it be to us and to our children and to our grandchildren in years to come, a shrine of blessed memories. May it be a refuge from the cares and the burdens of life. May it be a shelter in the time of storm. Fill this sanctuary with your Holy Spirit and fill us with your love, your joy, your peace, and your power. As the erection of the temples are in vain without the consecration of the people, we offer our lives to you tonight afresh and anew. Let your word abide in our hearts and may we be changed into your own glorious image. Let us remember that you are the cornerstone of this church. That you are the precious one, that you are the rock of our salvation. Our Father, bless those who minister here. May they be vessels fitted for the Master's purpose. Give them strength for the journey. Anoint their ministry to guide the souls of men and women in paths of righteousness. When the tired, sin-sick, hungry souls walk through these doors, let them find living water and the bread of life and the living Christ. Hear our prayer, O Lord, our God, our King, and our Redeemer. These things we ask in your precious name, and all of God's people said amen. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight we are presenting the New Testament church as a great church. The word great is really one of the most overused words in the English language. Two old maids who hadn't seen each other for about 20 years, don't raise your hand. One said to the other, said, what's new? She said, oh, I got married. And she said, oh, well, that's great. Well, it's not so great, he's old. The other replied, well, that's too bad. Well, it's not too bad, he's rich. The other one replied, well, that's great. Well, it's not too great, he's tight. The other one replied, well, that's too bad. Well, it's not too bad. He built me a new, massive new home. Well, that's great. Well, it's not too great, the lady said. The house burned down. Well, that was too bad. Well, it's not too bad because he was in it. You hear people say, great, great, great. It's so overworked. Ask the average church member, how is your church great? By whose standards is it great? By the church down the street or the New Testament church in the book of Acts? When we say a great church in America, we're generally talking about lavish buildings, wealth, pipe organs, cushioned pews, deep pile carpets, large influential memberships, a social prestige, and a parking lot filled with luxury cars. I have discovered a truly great church. It's in the book of Acts. I've discovered that where we're generally great, they were small. And where we are generally small, they were great. Here is what a great church looks like by God's standard. The first church had great power. Great power. Acts 4:3, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. A New Testament church is born in the power of God. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That includes Alaska. The purpose of power is to be a witness for Christ. Your top priority as a church is to win the lost. Everyone without Jesus Christ will spend eternity in hell. And that's some of your families. It's frivolous for you to come here and sing songs and your family not know God because you've never opened your mouth to them about the salvation of their soul. God bless all six of you. Amen. Jesus to the disciples, go to Jerusalem and tarry until you be endued with power from on high. Why were there 120 people in the upper room? Because there are 12 tribes in Israel, and because in Judaism it requires 10 people to have a proper prayer number. 10 times 12 is 120. Everything in the Bible is for a reason. On the day of Pentecost, 120 people gathered in one place and they were waiting on God. Ask people to pray 10 days in a row now and they would want to know why. People would think you extreme or maybe emotionally unbalanced. The Bible describes what happens in the upper room. Suddenly, There came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all of the house with cloven tongues of fire that sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's power. That's supernatural power. That's Pentecostal power. That's great power. That's power that will produce a great church that will break the yoke and set the captive free. Give the Lord praise in this house. That's power to save the lost and dying of this state. That's power enough to heal the sick and the afflicted. That's power enough to cast out demon spirits with a word. If you think that's not necessary, get a hold of this fact, that this week in Boston, Massachusetts, they're having the biggest satanic rally in the history of the United States of America. Saint Church, we are in a warfare with the Prince of Darkness. The victory is ours, but we must be prevailing Christians with the power of the Holy Spirit. The power to break the chains of bondage and set the captives free. The power that brings joy unspeakable and full of glory. The power that brings joy in the midst of the storm. The power that brings victory over the world, over the flesh, and over the devil. The power that makes demon powers tremble with fear. Thank you, God, for Spirit-filled power, for Pentecostal power. That's a great church. Give him praise in this house. The Holy Spirit sent them into the streets of Jerusalem in an evangelistic explosion. It wasn't something that they received and say, well, I've got it. You got it for a reason. And that evangelism explosion birthed the New Testament church. They spoke in the native tongues of every person that was there, and many nations were there because it was Passover. 3,000 were saved. And those 3,000 began the New Testament church. America has a sick society that Dr. Fauci and all of his parade of vaccinations cannot heal. Lord God in heaven, send to Alaska, send to America a revival of the United States of America. Where sinners are converted and sin is confessed and your name is glorified. Deliver us from the cancer of socialism that's destroying this country. Let me tell you something. Socialism is nothing more than communism with lipstick. Deliver us from public schools that are teaching our children critical race theory, which is racial hatred, which is the basis of social destruction in the United States of America. Deliver us from corrupt political leaders in Washington, D.C. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Deliver us from our churches that have been mastered with a form of godliness but denied the power thereof. Heal broken homes. Heal broken marriage. Help our children who are being confused with transsexual concepts to recognize that when God creates you as a man, you are a man and you can never be a girl. And if you're a girl, you can never be a man. The problems of Alaska and America cannot be solved with religious ritual of a Laodicean lukewarm church. America can be saved by a supernatural power of the Holy Spirit with cloven tongues of fire that will break every yoke, that will set the captives free, that will sweep across this nation and bring glory to God. That can happen. Peter and John were at the gate called Beautiful. They saw a cripple at the gate daily, and they, expecting to receive from them, the disciples said, "Silver and gold have I none." That's a pretty good introduction for a Pentecostal preacher. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I it unto thee. Get that phrase in your mind. What I have is a lot more than what you're asking for. All you want is a few shekels in that tin cup. But the power of God within us can heal your body and change your destiny in the snap of a finger. And they prayed, and instantly was healed. He leaped to his feet. He went to the temple with him and went up and down shouting in the temple. Now, lest you think that thing was 40 feet by 40 feet, it was 800 feet long. He was supernaturally charged with a body that had been transformed by the healing power of God. That's great power. Peter and John were going to church, and they met a cripple who expected something from them. Think about that for just a second. Because every time you walk through the doors of this church, there will be emotional cripples that walk in here. Spiritual cripples, moral cripples, physical cripples, who will walk through these doors expecting to receive something from you. You must be prepared to give them a supernatural healing power that will transform their lives. Such as you have, give it unto them. Do not disappoint them. You have the same supernatural power as Peter and John. Turn it loose. Turn it loose. Turn it loose. America is not going to be saved by a political superstar. America is going to be saved by the bright and the morning star, Jesus Christ. Dear God, start a supernatural revival and start it now and start it in this place. Why not? One of the most breathtaking statements found anywhere in the Bible is 1 Corinthians 6:19. Paul writes, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you?" God is in you, whom you have received from God. Mark 3:15, he gave them power to heal sickness. Mark 6:7, he gave them power over unclean spirits. He has given us the power over the world, the flesh, and the devil. The devil is afraid of a spirit-filled person. Mark 6:17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. The worship of Satan and demon spirits is sweeping America. One Wednesday night in December 1971, I was teaching on the topic how Jesus dealt with demons. Suddenly, a man walked into the church with a loaded gun. He appeared in the lobby and started walking down the outside aisle of the church. About halfway down, he started roaring like a lion. As he walked down the aisle, people saw the pistol, the revolver. Some ran out the back door in terror. I have to tell you, it's funny now, but it wasn't then. The biggest guy in our church, 6'4", black belt karate, went to the gym 3 times a week, diseased with muscles. He crawled out the church back door as fast as he looked like a duck flying out that door. Coward! Some climbed under the pew, screaming in terror. About a half a dozen older women stood up, lifted their hands, and started praying. God bless the gray-haired saints. He walked 10 feet of the platform and he said, "I've come to kill you in front of this congregation to prove that Satan has more power than Jesus Christ." I held up my Bible and said, "This book says no weapon formed against me shall prosper." He shouted back, "I'm going to kill you on the count of three." He lied. On the count of two, he started shooting. And he shot 6 times. From 10 feet away. I am alive tonight because the angels of God protected me on that night. When he was out of bullets, he ran down the aisle. The men of the church knocked him down before he got out of the church. The police came, arrested him. He was sent to the asylum for the criminally insane. He was released. And 90 days later, 3 psychiatrists said he's ready to take his place in society. He drove home. He climbed a tree in his backyard and hung himself. The Bible says Satan has come to rob, to kill, and to destroy. And he will do that. I am alive tonight because there's power in Jesus' name. I am alive tonight because the power of Jesus' name is greater than all of the demon powers in hell. Demons tremble at the mention of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Give him a shout of praise in this house. We're not here to accommodate evil. We're here to conquer evil. The victory is ours through Christ the Lord. Our God is almighty. He is all-knowing. He is ever-present. He holds the 7 seas in the palms of his hand. He calls the stars by name. He is the God of perfect peace. He is the conqueror of death, hell, and the grave. He is our healer. He is our provider. He is our everlasting God. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the chain breaker. He is the way maker. He's higher than the highest. He's greater than the greatest. He's wiser than the wisest. He has all power in heaven and in earth. Give him praise in this house. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to be embarrassed at the supernatural power we have we didn't use. Dan and I were checking into a hotel in New Orleans. This is another illustration. And as we stepped up to the desk to register, a beautiful young woman stepped up to my right and she started screaming, "Why are you here? Why are you here? Why didn't you tell me you were coming?" Dinah grabbed my sleeve and said, "Who is that woman?" I wanted to know that myself. I said, "Dinah, this woman has a demon. The demon knows who I am. I'm going to cast the demon out while you check us in." I turned around to put my hands on this woman. She let a blood-curdling scream. And she started running out of that hotel. She screamed every step with blood-curdling screams and out the door. The security came running from all parts. The first policeman to get to me said, "Who are you?" I said, I'm a pastor who believes that the power of God is greater than the demon power in that woman. He said, you know, it's strange that you would say that, because that woman is a celebrated witch in the city. She leads people into the cemeteries, and at midnight they pray to the dead. I said, well, that demon was just about to lose his house, and that's why she's running out of here. We have power. We have power. We have power. Use it. I was raised in a generation that sang out of a songbook. Can you believe that? We sang songs about the power of Christianity. One song goes, all hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. There was another song, there is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the Lamb of God. Would you or evil a victory win? There's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. How is Jesus Christ coming back? He's coming back in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. The dead in Christ are going to rise. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to go to the city where roses never fade, where we will receive a crown of life and a robe of righteousness. We'll have a new name and a new body. Thank God I need one. We serve an awesome God. We have a great future, but we are supposed to be victorious here. Creation is a witness of God's power. Scientists have said that the blazing sun puts out enough energy per second to create 250 atomic bombs. That's real power. He puts kings up and he puts kings down. He puts presidents up. I'm praying he puts one particular one down. Personally, I would like a plastic mannequin from Macy's compared to what we've got. God holds the seven seas in the palms of his hand. He weighs the mountains in a scale and the hills in a balance. Look at those mountains out there. God weighs that like you would a speck of dust. The blast of his nostrils splits the cedars of Lebanon. He's the master of wind and waves. He is the conqueror of death, hell, and the grave. He is victorious over the world, the flesh, and the devil. He can cast out, say, of Satan. He will crush the Antichrist. The false prophet will be cast into hell. For 1,000 years, the lion will lay down with the lamb. And we're going to have nothing but a totally peaceful generation. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. But what have we done with this gospel of power? We have polluted it with religious ritual. Hype without holiness. A counterfeit Christianity, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Lost souls who are frantically searching for the demonstration of power. Listen, an ounce of demonstrated power is worth a ton of theology. The world is looking for the power to heal broken families, to heal broken marriages, to heal drug-addicted children, to bring peace in the midst of the storm, to heal bodies that have been twisted by disease, to bring hope for shattered dreams, to bring joy that's unspeakable and full of glory, to bring a supernatural power over the world, the flesh, and the devil, to bring a supernatural revival that will sweep Alaska, that will sweep America from coast to coast. The answer is, let's get back to the New Testament standard of greatness. Let's turn the power of God loose until the lost walk the aisles and the aisles are filled with those who are convicted by the Holy Spirit, until the sick leap to their feet out of their beds of affliction, until they walk out of their wheelchairs and they drop their crutches, and the wind and fire of another Pentecost invades the church. God, let it happen, and let it happen here. Back to those songs. Lord, send the old time power, the Pentecostal power, that sinners be converted and your name glorified. By New Testament standards, a great church is a praying church. Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Get this straight. Prayerlessness is sin. Prayerlessness is sin. Matthew 6, when you pray, not if you pray. 1 Samuel 12:23 says, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Prayerlessness is a sin. Some of you think you are really righteous and powerful. I assure you, your prayer life doesn't match your television time. Some prayer, some power. More prayer, more power. Much prayer, much power. I'm in the ministry today because of the prayer power of my mother and a committee of 10 women who prayed that I would be converted before I walked out the door of my father's church. I had an appointment to go to West Point, and I fully intended to go there. I was sick and tired of people criticizing me for playing sports. I was a four-sport letterman. I was ticked off at that church, and my father was the pastor of that church. You talk about mad and angry, I was on steroids. I sat on the back seat, closest to the door, so when the preacher shut up, I was out of there in 10 seconds, walking home. I told my mother, when I received that letter from the senator, this is my ticket out of this hell hole. She didn't argue with me, because she knew to do that would have made me more determined than ever. She formed a prayer group on the quiet, and every Tuesday at the church, they met and prayed that I would get saved. 6 weeks later, while the preacher had preached an eternal sermon that went forever and just didn't find a place to shut up, there was a presence that literally invaded my life. Enough that I walked down the aisle and said, Lord, I prayed this prayer, Lord, you know how much I want to go to West Point. But if your will for my life is something other than that, you take that will away. I did not lose the will to go to West Point, but the will to do the will of God overrode every other thing in my life. And 10 days later, I was enrolled in Bible college. And the ministry began. The average church in America is practicing what I call hot tub Christianity. Hot tub Christianity makes you feel good without being good. It teaches you how to adjust to your sin rather than confess your sin. Hot tub Christianity is warm and bubbly, but no one demands a change or commitment to Jesus Christ. Hot tub Christianity never speaks about duty or discipline or discipleship. We just want to be comfortable. That's their mantra. Hot tub Christianity has mastered the for us gospel, what God is going to do for us, not in us, not through us, not to us, but for us. God is not your butler. He's the shepherd, we're the sheep. He's the potter, we're the clay. He is the Lord, we're the servants. He is our commander. We are the soldiers of Jesus Christ marching to his command. Hot tub Christianity comes to church Sunday morning and sits back with a smug look on the face at the preacher saying, "Make me feel good, preacher, or I'll find another church." St. Paul describes the church in America having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. The prayer initiative rests with you. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Pray, 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 pray until the powers of hell are shaken and the gates of heaven are open and the anointing of the Holy Spirit sweeps this church like a mighty river. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. There are pastors who are sold on promotion, and promotion to an extent is good. But I assure you, St. Paul didn't offer a free camel ride to whoever brought the most to hear him preach. He did not give an autographed copy of the book of Isaiah to the person who gave $1,000 in the building program. He had a powerful ministry. He was anointed of the Holy Spirit. The sick were healed. Demons were cast out. The lost were saved. They either had a riot or a revival everywhere he went. Some tried to worship him. Others tried to kill him. Some kissed him and wept. Others stoned him and left for dead. But this is one thing that's for certain. Wherever Paul was, the power of God was in action. And he established the New Testament church. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I think when we get to heaven and find out how much power we had and how much power we could have given, we are going to be amazed at what we lacked to accomplish. The virgin birth is supernatural. The church that is not supernatural is not natural. It's a fraud. Jesus Christ is supernatural. The Bible is supernatural. Salvation through the blood is supernatural. Divine healing is supernatural. The virgin birth is supernatural. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is supernatural. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is supernatural. Deliverance from demon spirits is supernatural. Jesus changing water into wine, walking on water, raising Lazarus from the dead was supernatural. That's not dull stuff. Many churches in America have evolved from a movement into a monument. Movement to a monument. What does that mean? A monument is a piece of stone to remember something that happened long ago. Monuments are a place to remember what God did 40 years ago. The Bible says Jesus is the same. Say it with me. Yesterday, today, and forever. Lord God of Israel, walk the aisles of this church, save the lost, fill with the Holy Spirit, deliver from evil spirits, set the captives free, set the fear of tomorrow aside and the guilt of the future. Fill us with your love, fill us with your joy, fill us with your peace, fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Give the Lord a shout of praise in the house of God. And the Bible says, And there was great grace and great fear of the Lord upon the church. In these next 6 minutes, listen very closely. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. It is amazing grace, and it is great grace. Grace is greater than all your sin. But here's what's happening in America right now. Grace is being abused in the pulpit. Grace is being presented as you can sin and sin and sin and sin and keep on sinning, and you're covered by God's grace. I'm telling you, grace gives you the opportunity to confess your sin, not to continuously live in sin. I'm going to give you this statement, if you can write it down, if you can't remember it. To forgive sin without change in conduct is to make the grace of God an accomplice to evil. I'm going to say it again. To forgive sin without demanding a change in conduct is to make the grace of God an accomplice to evil. Jesus expected people to make a change. Remember the woman caught in the act of adultery? By the law of Moses, they should have wiped her out. Jesus forgave her. That was grace. But what did he say? Go and sin no more. Change. I expect you to change. That's what grace really is. Don't be confused by what's coming down the road. And then there was great fear, Acts 5:5, on all of them that heard these things. Why? Because God killed Ananias and Sapphira at the Wednesday night prayer meeting for pretending to give more to the church than they actually did. Oh, dear God, why did I bring that up for? God struck them dead pretending to be a fully dedicated couple when they were not. In the Laodicean church, the lukewarm church, sin is excused and tolerated with Ananias and Sapphira in every pew. Listen to this simple verse. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Say that with me. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. You say, Pastor, you're too intense. You're definitely a type A personality. America's Christians don't know how to spell intense. Listen to Jesus. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. Now that's intense. I'm a laid back kind of guy, actually, compared to that. It's better to get to heaven maimed than not get there. In closing, remember when the rich young ruler came to Christ, he said, I want to join your church of 12. Jesus said, go sell all you have and give it to the poor. That's God's standard of dedication to the great church. Do we have that? Do we have that? My prayer, Lord, make this church a great church, a spirit-filled church, an anointed church, a praying church, a witnessing church, a church that prospers. It is the Lord that gives you the power to get wealth. Give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's what's available. The world in which we live, Satan is begging for a fight. Let's give it to him. Let's give it to him. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Can we stand together? Give the Lord a shout of praise in this house.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. And may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.